Great A's. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Hello, 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 hello.
Welcome to Glory Days.
Welcome to Glory Days.
Actually, to something, to be fair, it does feel, honestly, breaking with tradition on this show and indeed in life. These 2 weeks, right, that we've been back in January, we say all the time about January being this ridiculously long month for all sorts of reasons. But I have to confess, I'm genuinely surprised the last couple of weeks have gone
flying
relatively quickly.
Unusually,
we're here again.
Yeah, I'm flying. Something's going to happen. The last week, one of us is going to die or something. It's unreal. Because normally January is such a bastarding penance of a month, you know.
Yeah.
And then February sort of just drags a little bit because you always it's like February's the short week of the year.
Mm.
You know, when you go a short, you have a long weekend, you come in the shoes, and you think, God, it's a short week, and it always feels like the longest week you're bleeding life. February does exactly that in the monthly sense.
Yeah.
But January's the real bitch of the bunch, isn't
it? Oh, without a shot. Well,
it's flying.
There's genuinely 5 weeks. Obviously, it feels like 8 months, but it's 5 weeks or something in January, is it?
There's five Fridays.
For most people, you were paid before Christmas.
Before Christmas.
You spent all your money at Christmas.
Same the shilling.
So you basically starve for 5 weeks.
Say you walk around surviving on fucking bounties and the odd eclair that's left in the bottom of a plastic tub.
Licking wrappers that people left back into the tub and stuff like
all that.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff. Hoping Jim McCabe will come in with a handful of sweets of leftovers in a plastic bag, which he did. To give me the other day. And then instead of going, is there any nice ones left in? There's actually no.
Yeah, well, obviously, I wanted to make sure I hadn't made a mistake in giving you away the ones I actually like.
Yeah, you go. That's how you know it was Mrs. Met packed the bag.
Yeah.
What's in there? What do you give
him? Oh, did she give you?
What are you sending into him?
Wait a minute, there's two butlers in that one. They're not just the weird orangey ones left over from the Quality Street.
You don't have a graw for any of those sweets that other people don't like. You know,
I Turkish. I'm Turkish Delight is my favourite sweet.
And is that the one that always? Yeah, well, I mean,
they don't even put it in the box anymore.
Yeah, pretty hard to leave that behind.
They
when
don't
it's not
even
there
put
in the first.
Yeah, milk tray just went fuck it. No one's eating it except for that potato-headed lunatic.
But I mean, why would you eat potpourri flavoured jelly anyway?
Because it's the best. It's the best. It's the greatest.
Because people used to give me a hard time because I actually liked the coffee sweet.
I loved it as well. Loved the coffee sweet.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with that.
Can we just be honest about this now, right? And this is important. Synthetic flavours are better than actual flavours. That's the truth, you know.
Yeah.
You know when you get weirdos that don't understand it and they're like, what do you mean you don't like bananas and you're after eating a banana chew? Because it's not a banana. It doesn't taste anything like a banana.
Banana chew.
You know, you have to eat the banana chew and he says he doesn't like bananas.
Yeah.
And then, what do you mean? You don't like strawberries? You don't even eat fruit. He says he's after eating an orange cream and a strawberry hopper. That's because they don't taste anything like strawberries or orange creams. I don't eat Terry's. I hate mangoes.
That is true, actually, isn't it?
If you
were to chew
oranges
on something that was a strawberry, whatever, a strawberry sweet of some description, and then actually bit a strawberry, there'd be no correlation.
Yeah, the actual one would taste like shit. Because synthetic flavours are much nicer.
And it's gas, because we were talking earlier on, we were very bold earlier on, and, well, I have to say, we were very bold. I persuaded PJ to forgo his healthy breakfast of porridge, which he normally
does. It's the greatest thing. He did it so well. He timed it so well. I dropped my plastic spoon and everything.
I persuaded him to forgo that for a dirty egg muffin sausage thing, right?
The ones that they do in the centre now.
Delicious.
Jesus Christ.
Addictive. They're like the crack cocaine of breakfast foods.
It's like McDonald's must be going mad over it.
Yeah. But they're fantastic. And we ended up talking about how, you know, people that slag off, sort of, you know, they call it junk food, fast food, whatever the thing
is. Yeah.
But, like, it's just, as we were saying, it's feckin' science is nearly making you eat it. Your body, they have nailed it
exactly
for what your taste buds want. And I'm sorry, I would live off that shit.
I would live off it every day. And you know, like, people, you know the way people go, oh, Jesus, you know the way you eat, like, McDonald's for 3 or 4 days when you have to, you're out working and everything, you just feel like shit. Never happens. Never happens.
Yeah, yeah. All that happens is I get sad that I can't keep eating.
I can't believe I have to go back to a bowl of shitty, boaty crap on the Monday. When I've had, you know, and I'm not even messing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people go, oh, God, you know when you eat so much chocolate, it gives a headache and all. Yeah, I do, yeah. Does that mean I regret the chocolate? No, it means I'm unfortunately, I must stop for now. while the headache passes. And then I'll go hard at it again the next day. I treat you, you know.
Yeah.
Of course it's the way. You couldn't eat crisps every day. I would live in crisps. I would rub them into my pants. I'd literally rub them into myself with one hand and eat them with another hand. And I would do it every day.
Part of that stuff we were having, and we talked about this before, was the you know, the way you get that, and it's effectively, let's call a spade, it's plastic cheese. Right?
Plastic,
you know, plastic cheese.
There's no cheese in it.
There's nothing even resembling
cheese.
Milky type things
nothing
in it.
At
there's
all.
Nothing at all.
It's just chemicals.
It's chemicals that, you know, yellow chemicals.
And they're fucking beautiful.
I was just going to say,
beautiful.
It's the nicest cheese you ever taste.
Even there's some mad
when
Frenchman.
When it's put on burgers and buns and whatever.
You wouldn't eat it on
its own. But that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't pick it up and eat it as a slice.
No. No, but it's just,
and you know, but and
oh, it's gorgeous.
I mean, if somebody served it to you on a cheese board, you'd probably be a bit put out.
Ah, yeah.
But
I'd be more. But at the same time, would I eat it? I mean, I eat it off a wet dog's head. I'm still gonna eat it.
Yeah.
You know, I still, I just know how I prefer it, and that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've never understood that. Oh, you do feel terrible and all. I never felt terrible. I felt, I'll be honest with you, the only time I ever really felt bad about food was when I was eating very well. I always felt I was missing out, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt healthy and great. I loved it. I loved the results and everything. But am I a happier man now I'm squishy? I think I might be.
Squishy.
I think I'm happier squishy than I ever was solid.
Yeah.
And I'm getting more and more squishy. Well, actually, I've lost some squishiness over Christmas for the first time in my life.
How did you manage to do that?
I got sick.
Very well
and
done.
It was a great.
Very well
it was
done.
Great. It
good
actually,
ploy.
It was a good ploy. It was great. Yeah, yeah. Now, I've been trying to gain it back ever since. I'm working on that. Which is you know,
isn't that amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you could have a situation where you could be violently ill.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Bedridden, like
I was. Yeah,
shocking. Weeks it was.
And
weeks
genuinely,
was going on. And then you get out for and somebody goes, oh Jesus, you're looking well.
Do you know what it was? And I'm not even messing. I felt like shit. It was terrible. Christmas was terrible. And then I was like, oh God. And after like a week or whatever, you know, because you're in your tracksuit and shorts walking around the garden.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I have to go, better go and get my life together, you know. And I put on my jeans and the belt closed on the second thing. I was like, totally worth it. Totally worth it.
Yeah. I wonder, do I have any more of that disease lying around?
I walked out smiling and I was there going, sure, Christmas is shite anyway, I said.
I must remember in future to spit into a little bottle and keep it in case I ever need to lose a bit of weight.
I wonder, can you catch the same virus twice, I was wondering. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Totally worth it. Because I normally come out of Christmas feeling podgy, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, right, now there is a get your act together thing. But Jim McCabe made a really good point on this show. Our fucking show, right? He made a really good point where he said the abstinence is always supposed to have begun in January, right? And you made a brilliant point where never should anything begin in January. January should be seen as the backyard extension of Christmas. You know, you go hard at it. You have to survive. January's about survival.
Yeah.
You don't get fussy. You don't. You eat sausages out of your pocket and chocolate bars. And you enjoy the beer. You finish off. You eat all the shite that's left in the house. Eat it out of the way. You eat it. Eat it. Consume it. Go hard at it. Like, just let January shit. It's cold. You don't want to go out, have pints, sit in cold
in
rooms
fact,
with your jacket on.
I think there's a reason that expression cold turkey came about for people who go hardcore feckin', you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and end up, you know, I don't know, sweating in a room, locked room or something, whatever they do.
Yeah.
But because you should, I mean, why would you do it? Why wouldn't you, you know, ease yourself off your feckin' madness a little bit?
Yeah.
And why would you attempt to do it when it's dark? And you've no money. And
nothing to do.
And nothing to do.
No one wants to talk. And everyone's like, you know.
Yeah.
But February comes.
Beautiful.
And what happens with February? February's still shit, right? But there's a glimmer of hope.
Spring.
You start thinking, oh, it's only a few weeks now and the clock changes.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day's on around the
corner.
There's
a bank holiday.
Bank holiday. Jesus, there'll be sun soon. I'd probably lose a couple of pounds for that. You know, motivational things actually start to sneak into the year, but they don't in January, you know.
Yeah.
So I believe you're right. It should be 12 months of the year, but the first month of the year is February.
Yeah.
And January should be the last.
Yeah. They should rename New Year's resolutions into feckin', I don't know, whatever Fraberies are known as.
Yeah, whatever that is. Whatever that, the big, the bounce, the spring into a better life.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Spring into a better
spring
life.
Spring into a better
sounds
life.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I still think February's winter. But anyway, the Normanologists don't agree with me, but that's up to them.
Normanologists.
Whatever they're called. People who invented the calendars.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, so
mind you, to be honest with you, the other thing about it as well is, I mean, I have to say, the one thing I've sadly started to do with myself is give myself a break when it comes to stuff like that. Because I know, I mean, you know, obviously it comes with getting to a certain age where you suddenly realise, right, there was a time. And you know, I mean, it's not that long ago because you and I were sort of on a bit of a kick, you know, early doors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we were, and stuff like that. And there's times when you weirdly, now, I mean, you're completely delusional about yourself, to be fair. You weirdly believe you could still end up like ripped and, you know, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, I'd say there's a chance I might get a call to appear on the front of a magazine.
You never know. You never know.
You know what I mean? Who knows? You know what I mean? They might just think, ooh, well, yeah. I tell you what about that guy?
You never know. This might be the year the RTE guy, they're looking for a middle-aged comedian.
Yeah.
Who's been eating sausages for 6 months.
Has anybody ever been a car model for the Farmer's Journal?
PJ, you wouldn't wear your knickers on the front. I would. I'll do that for you. Yeah, and you never know. Yeah.
And you're delusional then. And then eventually you do realise, listen.
It's over.
Honest to God.
It's over.
Like, there's no other people looking at you unless they're kind of feeling sorry for you, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody's looking at you with a, whoa. They're looking at you to say, aw.
I do that.
Do you know what I mean?
If
so
I had to.
You just... So you embrace that, and you end up going a bit easier on yourself.
Yeah, and then realise you were always a bit like that, you know. Yeah, even as a young person, yeah, surely you'd be better than you are now. But it was still not great. Well, it wasn't in my case.
No, but I agree with you.
My
ears
were never level.
You were delusional then, thinking, you know what I mean? When I put my mind to it.
Yeah, yeah. But now I kind of look at myself and say, honestly, for a person that, at best, is half dead... At best case scenario, half dead, right? 50 now and eight. Best case scenario, half dead. I think I'm actually doing quite well.
There you go, yeah.
Yes, I'm squishy. Yes, I smell a bit in bits that shouldn't be there. Yes, I have a funny balding spot beginning to start. Yes, I'm going a bit grey. Yes, I'm podgy. Yes, I got lost on trains. Yes, all these things happen that never happened beforehand. But... Yeah. You know, I still think for my age, I'm doing quite well, actually. Yeah.
Mind you, we did hear something today. One of the lads that works here, Jake, it said something to us today. And I have to say, it cut me.
Right.
It was like a dagger in my heart. And it was this thing about if you're mad into your meat.
Yes.
That apparently you're, but I don't buy it. Your head's gone.
He said it to you, though.
That's what I mean. He was literally eyeballing me when he said it to me.
That's like walking into me and saying, did you hear there's been a scientific study that says people who like motorbikes are fucking idiots? Yeah. And then he came into you and said, you know, people who are mad into meat, apparently if people who love red meat, who indulge in red meat every day, you know, hitting all the keywords for Jim, you know, they are more prone to dementia, he said.
Yeah.
We were like, seeing Jim going, oh, mother. And they hit him right in the fears. Jim is a fear of this anyway.
Oh, right.
You know, Jim is a fear of this because, you know, well, he has to try and remember everything I say as well as him. And that's very impossible. So he never knows where the levels of normality is or not.
Yeah. I never know. Who had that thought? Was that him or me?
Was that him or me? And why didn't I write it down? And why am I in trouble for something he said? It's very difficult. So you were nervous.
I was. And I mean, the only thing that was good is that literally when he left the room, I forgot what he said. No.
But it was one of those.
I'm joking.
I don't buy it though. It was one of those things. It was like the study was done by the National Institute for Meat Researchers or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just know that's a vegetarian lobby.
Yeah.
And
who
they funded
the study.
Yeah,
and
they piled a load of money into it. And there's another scientist for the red meat makes your flute huge. group.
Yeah.
And they're like...
They're a great group.
They're like different evidence.
I joined them years ago.
They did, yeah. Now I have to say, I don't trust the science.
Yeah, yeah. I am starting to waver on it myself.
I mean, honestly, 6 sausages every day, and if anything, mine's, you know...
If the Dinky Dip taught us anything,
I'll tell you,
that research is unsound.
I'm still trying to get it out. And so it's like all of that. So I don't know. And that's the thing. We read out all these stories. They're always counter each other over time. Over the last 10 years, we've had every variation of a scientific study that tells you everything is true. But it's the source of them is always paid for.
Completely.
By the person, you know. So it's like, you know, me say, try, you know, can you please find science that says, actually find someone that does all the work into workplace while Eustace is around giggling is actually very good for your health and very good for the other person's health too. You know, and they said, well, I don't think that's true. Here's 10,000 euros. That's true. That is absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And it does work like that.
Because all you do is, all you need is a grain. If you can get anything that's a grain, anything that somebody can't say is categorically wrong, you know what I mean?
You just need a snippet
of
truth.
It's literally like that. It's like that gag in Dumb and Dumber where they go, what's the chances you're going out with me? What is it, million to one or something?
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So there is a chance.
Yeah.
No, there's not.
It's like that.
But it's a million to one. No.
Yeah.
Well,
but the one. There is a chance then.
So not 10 million. I said a million to one. Okay, so we're already down. We're already narrowed by 10%. So increasingly the chances...
What most research we read is...
You do what you want with
figures.
Is. Yeah. The figures are all the same, but you just read them whatever way you want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because my other great favourite expression, because it's very much me, I have to say, is, you know, look it, I have my principles, and if you don't like them, I have another set of principles over here.
Over here. And I'll do that, no problem. Just please don't fire me.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
It's amazing how, you know, when it comes to complaining, right? Everybody feels when they complain that they, and naturally enough, they feel entitled to complain. They feel they're in the right in making their complaint.
But this is it. But we have a saying on this show, don't we? No good deed goes unpunished. It's a saying that we've been using on this show for a long time. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. That's the way it is. And sometimes, if you work for the police, you must think there's nothing you can do right.
Right.
You must just think, if you're a copper, you must think, no matter what I do, I'm wrong. In Wales, right, one of our favourite places on this show.
Wales has become definitely one of our go-to spots
for stories.
And like, wacky news and stuff.
And in a place called Rhyl in Denbighshire, the police have been trying to crack down on the sort of recreational drug use and all that sort of stuff from complaints from locals and everything, you know, please do something about this, you know, the drugs. So they cracked down, big time crackdown, 35 raids and 180 arrests made. A huge impact in Rhyl, as far as all of that has been concerned, and they think, right, they've made a statement, and they're saying we've done our best, and now there's a serious drought that those recreational drugs people can't get ahead.
So,
and
kind of mission accomplished. We, you know, job well done, kind of thing.
So, thanks for letting us know. We've acted. Hopefully, that's good for everybody. And now, unbelievably, drug users and drug dealers have come out and says, "Well, it's all right for you, pussycat, but we're supposed to make a living." You can't do it all at once, pussycat. I mean, so all of a sudden, now we're all, what are we going to do?
So, in some of those cases,
criminals are effectively complaining
about a crackdown on crime.
Yes, they're complaining, but it's too much. You can't do it all at once, pussycat. That's not fair. I mean, gradually, maybe we can try and make other plans to get jobs, pussycat. But not just like that. No, it's not fair.
Yeah.
So now they can't.
These are obviously Geordie. Geordie drug dealers are working out of Wales.
It's a Newcastle gang working in Wales. Yeah, very, very strict. But they're and drug
that
users themselves are going, oh, hold on a minute. But they did it on Friday. It's not fair to do it on the weekend. Couldn't they do it on a Monday?
Well, wow.
Nobody wants drugs on a Monday morning.
And so it'd be like a burglar complaining about, you know, newfangled kind of burglar alarms or something or whatever,
it.
You know.
The guards giving everyone drugs.
What about us? What about anybody ever think of the poor burglar?
No one cares.
All these alarms and CCTV and everything.
I used to be able to get into 10 gaffes in a night. Now I'm lucky if I can do two. With all the security systems I have to get through.
Wow.
The guards don't care about the burglars, do they? No. I know, it's unreal, isn't it?
It does seem kind of strange where...
In
some of those instances, criminals complaining about a crackdown
too
on
much
crime.
Too much too soon.
Wow. I'm feeling entitled to complain about it.
Yeah.
To come out and say it.
I know, it's not like we're selling the serious drugs. We're just doing the oil... genie powder, whatever they call it in Wales. We're just smoking on the magic flutes or whatever they say.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it, you know.
Actually, in Wales as well. You don't know the Welsh language, the way they spell things and the...
The longest words in existence.
Must be tough to ask for any of that sort of carry-on over there.
Yeah.
Would you have any...
Did you slang? Wouldn't they? They'd be all like... And I don't know what they... Would you have any of that titty caca powder? You know, that sort of thing, you know.
By the way, to be fair to you, somebody has commended you on your Nigerian Welsh.
Hey! I'll tell you something. At this rate, I'm a good
pussy car.
You watch your mouth, pussy car.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Listen, something we say on this show a lot, sorry, correction, something I say on this show quite a lot, is always drink responsibly. I'm always saying that whenever we have to talk about it, I'm, you know, obliged to say to you, always
absolutely,
drink responsibly.
Yeah, don't make an idiot of yourself. And
it turns out, not only must you always drink responsibly, you must also speak about drink responsibly.
Responsibly.
Yeah. Don't, don't go in there all willy-nilly thinking you do what you like when it comes to chatting about those kind of things.
Oh, you don't want to look like a tick. As we said in the last story, what is life but a series of embarrassments, one after the other? And according to a survey, half of people in the world who like wine, right? So this is for you. If you like it, you don't have to be an expert, but half of people who like it have accidentally stumbled across wine jargon, wrongly used it, and felt like a bit of an idiot the odd time. It's happened to about half of people.
Wine jargon.
Yeah. So you start going, so someone goes, do you like wine? I do like wine. And then they go, oh, what do you like? I like red wine. And they go, oh, yeah, yes, amazing, yeah. What like countries would you like it from? So, New World, Old World, yes. And what terroir?
What?
Like,
What's terroir?
What terroir? I would say grapes would be the terroir.
What is terroir?
It refers to the environmental conditions that affect the taste and the quality of wine. So,
oh my God.
See, this is what happens. You think you're having a normal conversation and then an expert wants
to
show
I'm
off,
assuming,
right?
I'm assuming that anybody who's involved in this level of conversation isn't getting the, I don't know, the 3 for 2 deals out of the supermarket.
Exactly. They're not going, it's not getting, you know, put in the bag with the bananas when you're walking out of the supermarket.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. You think you're having an art, you think you do like something, and then somebody wants, a lot of times I think people who have these words just want you to feel bad. You don't, you know?
Right.
So if
I've
like,
never heard that word.
So well, what about this one? Do you like a wine, Jim? Yeah, absolutely. What do you like about it? Well, I like the taste. Oh, do you like the taste? Well, I like the quadrilie, actually. The quadrilie, which is the measurement of apparently how long the taste of the wine stays on the palate. So not just
quadrilie,
the taste, but how long the taste lasts after you've had a sip.
I've never heard this word before. No, I mean, I'm
course,
certainly
you
not
haven't.
Wine
you're
connoisseur.
Just a, I mean, you haven't, you pig iron ruffian. I mean, why would you have heard any of these things? You know,
correct.
You think wine is just for like you said, when churches and for pouring on pork. So of course you don't know any of these names. What about oniology? Have you heard the word oniology?
Oniology.
Yeah, apparently that's the science of wine and wine making. So if you say you like wine or I'm into wine, what you should
be saying
is,
I'm an oniologist.
I'm an oniologist.
I'd say you are.
Yeah, you make me yawn anyway. That's for sure. Yeah. And then the maceration is the process of soaking grape skins.
The maceration?
Yeah, how you get the colour of the wine. It's the process of the...
Wow.
And then there's the cuvée.
Do you like the maceration? Do you like that?
Yeah. What do you like?
Maceration.
Red and a white, then they come the maceration.
Sorry.
Yeah,
childish.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Childish, I do apologise.
Sometimes I have a crisp but it's on maceration.
I mean, it's not like, you know, if you went into your local restaurant or something or whatever and you were saying like... I think I'll have a glass of wine, actually. Yes, how do you want? I mean, you know, a grape variety maybe, or as you say, right from the start, a red or a white or something.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean? What particular maceration are you? Are we going for today?
Depends where you are.
The one that goes with the burger.
But that's it. Depends where you are. If you're in Lea restaurant or whatever, you could say to the sommelier and he'd answer you. If you're in Eddie Rockets, he'd probably go, I didn't even know we sold wine until about a minute ago. And then if you say, when is the wine laid down? At what point was the wine laid down?
When it's finished. That's what I laid down. When it's finished.
Nearly time to push it out. But what they mean by when they say lay down is what year the wine was not made, but what year it was put into a cellar. So when it's been sitting. Not when it was made, when it was sitting.
God.
And the balance describes how the mix of the wine's flavours go together. So that's a safe one you can play with. You know, I love the balance of it, you know, because you can't be wrong or right.
It's like those people, you know, when they, they do the sniff thing and all that, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
The sniff thing.
If you and
the
I do that.
Once again, this is Mr. Pig. Would anybody like to sniff the wine?
They said you do that thing. Or whatever. And I don't know what. Like, basically, if it doesn't smell like vinegar, you generally go, "Yeah, that's grand. Thanks very much.
Yeah,
thanks very much." But you know these people that get the, I'm getting, you know, I'm getting winter forest winter forest and a little bit of dry bark.
Just mild tones of chocolate. They go, no, that I just farted before you opened the bottle there.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
We were joking about kids' books, right?
We were joking.
We were slagging off about how you can knock a kid's book up, no problem at all.
Some people sort of, they just can't, it's almost like, can I just put your name on this
exactly,
kid's book and we'll
like,
sell it?
You get any sort of breakthrough at all, you're a bit of a famous name, PJ Gallagher, that sort of thing.
And
could stick your name, and there's only two words on each page and, whatever, it's a load of pictures and that's great. Off go, sell that, give that to the kids. Anyway. But weirdly, this kind of ties into it a bit, because you get an idea for a kid's book from just about anywhere. And sometimes it can be based in real life. Like, for example, what about if there was a kid's book called The Man Who Needed a Shoe?
I swear to God.
Because
I swear to
this,
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is no work of kids' fiction. This is a true story about a man who needed a shoe.
Who needed a shoe? Why did I need a shoe?
You better start at the beginning.
There was a young man who needed a shoe. Until his father got involved, he had so many shoes he didn't know what to do.
Pretty much, yeah.
I collected my kid, the young lad, from creche the other day. What day would it have been now?
Doesn't matter. Don't turn into your man now. Come on, just tell us the story.
Thank you. That's actually a good point. Unnecessary detail eliminated. I collected him from the creche and I put him into the car and I saw one of his shoes was open and I tightened it. And then I got back to the house and then I realised, oh my God, he's only got one shoe.
Yeah.
I tightened the other shoe is missing.
Yeah, so like you were down at his feet,
yes,
tightening one shoe.
I said, no
problem.
But
you didn't notice the other one wasn't there.
I said, no problem, I've another pair of shoes in the bag. I've lost a bag as well, right? So now I've lost three shoes. In the time it left the creche to the time I got home, I've lost three shoes. Now, my son only has one shoe to go to the creche yesterday. So I have to go and get a new pair of shoes.
As a responsible parent.
Yeah, because I went back at night to the creche and everything with the phone and all. I was on my hands and knees looking for the shoe in case I dropped it on the road and all of that. Rang the creche, all this, Anyway, couldn't get the shoe. So yesterday, went to get the shoe. I've got the shoes, new shoes.
You, as in, buy new shoes. You
bought
literally
shoes,
went to buy new
went
shoes.
Went to the woman in Clark, said she was really helpful. Brilliant she was. And Jennifer, actually, was her name. And then I went back. Had shoes and thought, do you know something? It's rare I get to do it. I'll have a pint before I get on the train. And then I had
always drink responsibly.
What I can only describe as an episode of the brain. I got the wrong train home. And instead of going to...
Hang on a second. Just before you get into the train story, just to prove that this was going downhill, right from the start, more or less, the person you were with as you were leaving
I met somebody when I was leaving the pub. I met somebody. Yeah. And I was chatting away to her and then she goes, just chatting on the road. And then I went, anyway, well done, I said, when I was leaving. And she said, well done on what? And I said, honestly, I don't know. I'm not myself. And she walked off completely baffled. Well done. And I was like, oh my God, what did I say that for? Why did I say well done? Why did I say well done? This was in my head. I had the shoes. I got in the wrong train home. I didn't realise until I was off at some place called Clongriffin or Clongarriff or whatever. And the train stopped in Portmarnock. I was like, what am I doing here? I walked off the train. I was like, I don't know where I am. So I says, I better get another train back. So I crossed the platform. And then I went too far. I went the wrong way again. I went off back to Kilbarr. I went to Holt Junction.
It was going in the right direction, but going wasn't even going in the right direction.
That's not the point. I don't know the answer. And then I went up in Holt Junction and then across the platform again, right? I crossed the platform again and said, so now I have to get the other one. And then I saw a train and it had Bray on it and it was and Greystones was after it. And then I realised, well, do I need Bray or do I need Greystones? Anyway, Bray left and I went, that was me train! And the one from Greystones goes the same way. It doesn't matter till you get nearly out in the woods out where you live. I missed that one.
Right.
And then the next one brought me to Kilbarrick. I said, now I'm going the wrong way again. Three wrong trains. to get one pair of shoes. And then it was so late coming up. I started texting Kelly. I don't know what's happening. I texted her. I literally said, I think I'm having a brain attack. I sent her in a text message. I sent her pictures of the trains. And I sent her pictures of the trains asking her where they were going.
Yeah, and I have to say, I've seen some of these texts, right?
Yeah.
And they're quite informative, because he's just taking pictures of trains.
On
and
the
pictures
inside.
Pictures of like Google Maps and things.
Yeah.
And saying to them, it's kind of like, it's almost like a lad who's been kidnapped and he's trying to give clues to where he is.
Show the guards this.
Yeah. And poor Kelly's response, in fairness to poor Kelly's response at one stage was, she sent him a picture of his dinner and said, please come home. Please come home.
Please.
Like he was contemplating leaving or something.
So please come home.
A picture of his dinner.
Yeah.
Please come home.
And I said, I think I'm having a brain attack. And she goes, just find a taxi. Just find a taxi and give him your address. And then by the time I got home, it was so late. It was now time to go back to the creche and collect the child, right?
Yeah.
So I jumped into the car. Right? Now, by the way, this is one point, it was 3 hours before, you know, this is coming. I jumped in the car, I went down the road, I walked in, and I looked at the child and he was wearing his shoes. I sent him in with the one shoe, the other shoe never left the crash, it was sitting still in the place.
And what about the spare pair?
The spare pair were there as well, in the behind the scene. He only had one shoe, yes, I know, he's like Imelda Marcos.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
We said earlier on, we did the celebrity birthdays about an hour ago, as we do every single morning. And Kid Rock was on there, and somebody mentioned that Kid Rock was actually going to be performing at Trump's
inauguration
thing.
When is that? That's next week or something.
Soon enough, yeah. And PJ was telling me that, which I didn't realise, that Kid Rock was a big Trumper. In fact, he made Trump look, I don't know, liberal or something, or
even Trump is going, hey, calm down.
But anyway,
you can't say that.
Rachel Wexford sent us in this thing. It's a link to some of the other artists that are performing there.
Oh,
so,
who else
right,
is
so,
on?
But well, it'd be interesting. See how many of these kind of ring a bell with you. Carrie Underwood
rings a bell.
Yeah, I have heard of her. Yeah. I think she's country. Christopher Macchio.
Don't know who that fella is now.
Don't know. Some sort of tenor or something. Lee Greenwood. Never heard of him.
Doesn't ring a bell.
There's Kid Rock. The Village People.
You are kidding me.
Why? Yep. Village People are going to play at Trump's inauguration.
The Village People?
Yeah.
Are playing at Trump, who's so not exactly famous for his, LGBTQ rights or whatever, you know, like, the Village
People. Heroes of the, you would have said once upon a time, certainly heroes of the, you know, the gay community. It used to be iconic in some respects.
Yeah, yeah.
Once upon a time.
Well,
unusual choice
I would have
of them to agree. I mean, Billy Ray Cyrus, Miley's dad.
Wow,
he's going to play.
Doing that to annoy his young one, isn't he?
There's a lot of country stuff in this. He must be into his country.
Yeah.
The Liberty University Praise Choir.
Well, that's no surprise there. Yeah. I suppose that's about
Jason Aldean.
Another cowboy. It looks like some description.
Surprise
musical guest. You always know they've run out when you see that.
Somebody hasn't
with
answered.
Special guests. Whenever you see that on a poster.
Rascal Flatts. That's another country. It's all country, is it? Parker McCollum. Never heard.
Sounds
of
like
him.
A made-up name.
Gavin DeGraw.
I don't know. I guess if we were in the southern states, we'd be going, you don't know Parker McCollum. He's the greatest guy. He sang that song, Apologize to the Horse. Whatever, you know, we know then.
I mean, Kid Rock and the Village People seem to be the biggest names on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in terms of recognition for us.
Did you ever
imagine... It's not exactly a gig I want to go to.
I know, a gig. Imagine, are you going to Tree Arena tonight? Who's on? Kid Rock and the Village People. Like, how did that lineup end up on the same stage? What happened? Oh, yeah, it's a thing, yeah.
It must have been, will anybody agree to do it? Because didn't most of the of the celebrity types came out against Trump?
A lot of that, yeah.
I mean, there was the odds. I don't know. Was there any singer? I suppose there must have been. Well, a few of them obviously did, Kid Rock. But singers and actors and stuff.
Oh, well, a lot of the actors. Well, he's appointed now Sylvester Stallone, Mel Gibson and John Voight, you know, three very famous actors. He's appointed them with a new job. Apologies. Oh, my God, I'm choking. I can't even say it. I'm so upset with Sylvester Stallone. But he's appointed them with a new job. Special ambassadors to Hollywood. He's given them a new job.
Ambassadors to Hollywood.
Yeah, not
Why,
a government
do you
job.
Need, do you need particularly good diplomatic relations with Hollywood?
Turns out you do. He says he's given them
it's
a job.
It's in America, like.
Yeah, well, you know. He says that he needs to reignite the love of American cinema around the world, and he's sending these three men. It's basically he's given three of his mates jobs. He's just come up with a way to give his friends money.
Oh, so, so he's going to send them around the world promoting American cinema?
He's not sending them around the world, no. He's just saying, listen, when you're making movies, keep it in mind. And here's some money.
That's the most non-job I've ever heard.
Honestly, it's like making...
What do you want us to do? Sort of what you're doing now. Okay.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like our CEO walking in here now and saying, PJ, we're going to give you another job. I'm like, oh, what is it? We're going to make you official Jaffa cake taster of the spa next door. We're going to give you an extra 200 quid a week. I'll be like, absolutely, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it, yeah.
Special, you know. Not even advisors, ambassadors.
Ambassadors. No, yeah,
to Hollywood.
Go to events in Hollywood and say, hey, you know, Trump's all right, isn't he? And you get paid for it.
Oh, it's one of them.
And then they say, make a movie that maybe might look, you know, make America look good abroad. And that's it. That's the job. That's literally the job.
Jeepers,
you know, eat sandwiches and whatever you eat. And, well, I suppose these fellas don't eat sandwiches, do they? I don't know what you do.
It just goes
to show.
I don't
know what you do in Hollywood. Is there sandwiches in Hollywood? I don't know.
I'd say so.
Yeah,
probably. There'd be mad sandwiches, though.
Mad sandwiches.
We won't get a standard ham and cheese. It'll be all, hold the mayo on rye. But,
it's Trump's and all. It'll be going, give me a freedom sandwich with some liberty mayonnaise. You know?
Wow.
And those missile fries.
Why do you have to do to get a proper, cushy, one of those kind of, you know, figurehead type jobs where there's actual no work? You just have a title and a salary.
Yeah,
actual work involved.
Just walk around being
you.
They
just call you something and give you money for it.
Just be you at parties. You know? Yeah. Just to be you doing what you'd love to do. And we're going to make Jim the minister for going home as early as he can.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.